start this podcast. Everybody, you ready?
I think so.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Bat Motorsports Podcast. We got some of the same crew as usual. Not only do we have some, but we have less than some, and we've had more than some before. And this time we have about the same amount as the last time we had some. So if you don't know who these people are, then watch previous podcasts and figure it out. Real quick, I want to start off by thanking Cutwater. Cutwater is one of our main sponsors here for the podcast. We also have Off the Grid now. Thank you, Josh. You guys are, we wear your stuff all the time, and we're stoked to have you on board with the podcast. So everybody check out Off the Grid, check out Cutwater. And the last thing I want you to check out real quick is our new website. We have a brand new website, bentmotorsports.com. So please go check that out and, see what you think.
We've got all kinds of events and stuff on there. Too, it's not just, you know, the old website was a bit outdated, so this new one has got a lot of time and effort put into it, and a lot of cool stuff to check out for sure.
Yeah, and you can actually buy things on it, which is cool now. Do we have apparel up yet? I don't think we have apparel up yet.
We don't, but we do have a secret podcast code for a discount.
Ooh, that's right. The podcast code, hang on, I know what it is. Don't anybody tell me.
It's that much of a secret.
Hang on. I got to squint.
Do you need my glasses too? Or should I move the whiteboard over?
Do you want me to tell them what it is?
Yeah, you're going to have to because I can't see it from here.
Okay. Oh, so to clarify, we've got all kinds of cool stuff on the website. We've got lockers, suspension, lighting, pretty much everything you could think of. We're a vendor for all of your favorite brands already as it is. So we've got a discount code for podcast viewers only. That is Cutwater10. Cutwater, like the drinks that we're drinking. It's just Cutwater. And that'll get you 10% off everything on our website.
Rad. That's a pretty good deal.
I think so.
And we'll be doing these different types of things. If you go with us to, if you look at our events page on there and you see Tony Tuesdays, which is coming up, the next one's June 13th. We might give out a promo code while we're at Tony Tuesdays. You never know. Mm-hmm. We might have a featured item that we're trying to push. And you guys can let us know too. We just built the website. We're just now getting, you know, all the products on there. So if there's something that isn't on there that you want, call us, let us know. We can get it for you and then we'll add it to the website. There's just so many products out there in the world that it's hard to know where to start. So we've kind of started with the stuff that we use regularly and the products that we really like. We're not really going to put anything on there that we don't, you know, we wouldn't use ourselves.
But that'll still cover everything from a basic build to double throwdown kits where you can romp
absolutely.
Anything.
Oh, so yeah. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Literally covers everything that you could want.
If you go to the price range on our website, it goes anywhere from 60 cents to like $16,000.
Yeah, if you want yourself a set of Curry one tons.
What is 60 cents on our website?
Some hardware?
Yeah, I think Cole put a bolt on there. It's a my son is helping us with the website, and I think one of the products he put on there was a it's a Dana.
It's a diff bolt.
Yeah. A diff bolt or something for Dana, and it's like 60 cents. he just was curious to see how many people would buy it. So if you can find it, that's pretty funny. I'll make Cole ship it to you personally. he'll give you a free sticker with
it. I'm going to sell like 5,000 of those bolts.
Well, let's just jump right into some stuff that's been happening this week. Kevin ran up to the Terra event this
speed
last weekend.
Speed metal, right?
Yep, speed metal.
Yeah, Terra so
speed
tell metal. Us a little bit about that. How was that?
So that thing is it was super rad. We started off, my daughter's 9 in San Diego, and rushed up to Adelanto, and it's like right where the Grand Prix used to start, if you guys are familiar with that, with the old moto races. And just from miles away, you can just see smoke and dust. They had a drift course going on at the same time as different classes for like off-road racing, buggies, stuff like that. And my daughters and I roll up, and all of a sudden, they just cover their ears because they're like dancers, right? They don't know loud noises.
And how old like are that. They?
11 and 8.
11 and 8, there you go.
About to be 11 and 8. And they do the dance gymnastics thing, and as soon as we get out of the car, they're just where it's right where the drift line starts, right? And, you know, the ref tells them to go, and they're just covered in smoke. And my youngest is like, oh my God, I hate this, right? We walk to like where everyone is actually launching, and immediately a driver waves at her and she goes, I want to be a drifter, daddy, right? So we start walking in, you know, all the vendors were there, super rad, and the capability of the drivers in such a small closed course and just the environment of everyone there to watch that, you know, street and dirt are two completely different realms, essentially, right? But everyone there has a passion and addiction for, you know, driving, things that are motor driven. And it was such a cool event, and everyone was so nice. It was pretty hot. It was like 90 something, but they had food and water and like snow cones and
stuff
like
that. What was that?
Was it?
We're, yeah, we're a sip of your cup water.
So if you guys don't know, Kevin is from the other side of the United States, and they don't say water over there.
It doesn't matter. Him and I are both from the same place, and I do not say water.
Who's been here longer?
Him.
Oh,
I've been here since I was 18 because I was at Pendleton.
What year did you move here?
I'm pretty sure.
2004.
I'm pretty sure.
Right after high school.
Got me by 2.5 years.
Hey, he's just holding on to it, dude. Water.
I'm trying not to.
If you go back to our old podcast, I'm pretty sure we rip on him in other podcasts for saying water.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
so that is a point proven that you are not trying to stop saying water.
All right, so anyway.
All right, so Terra event. Hold on, let me put my heart back together. So the Terra event, I know. We just need to walk around with video cameras all day. Actually, no, that'd be really bad.
That would be horrible.
But it was super busy, but what I was kind of bummed about is my daughters and I got there at like, I'll say civilian time, like 2 o'clock, right? So BJ civilian Baldwin time. Already flipped the Ford.
Did you high five him?
No, I didn't. I didn't see him.
Oh, I don't know if I can even talk about
this. Oh, you were there for that?
No.
I'm upset. Okay.
There was a lot that happened in the beginning, right? The stoke, the excitement of the event going on. I don't know how many they've had up there, or maybe this was the first one.
I think that was the first time they did it there.
They've done several events, but this is the first time, not just Terra, but really anybody in our, you know, industry, if you will, has combined, you know, the dirt and kind of street scene that I know of, or at least recently. I think it's super rad that they're making the effort to kind of like join those two worlds because they're already so close, you know, like
it was an epic combo. So we kind of missed a lot of excitement, but you know, looking at my daughter's art in the street fair was pretty rad too, but missed that. It's a great accomplishment, but we missed some of that. But even from 2 p.m on was like the event just started. People, you know, like any event, roll in, roll out, they do what they want, they leave. So missed some of that stuff, but even the off-road racing that was going on afterwards was like right next to the street. So even if you didn't go into the event, you just saw trucks ripping corners, you know. It was a really good time, and you know, been in contact with a few of those guys because everyone's so hospitable up
everybody's
there.
So hospitable.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of hospital, that's why I didn't go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gonna recap on that there?
I had a baby.
That's so unbelievable.
But you still look like you're about to have a baby, so that doesn't get
Well, your water did break.
My water broke on my knee, and my knee had a baby.
He had a cesarean. Give him a break.
Yeah. So it was a rad event.
Yeah, it was.
I'm super bummed
rad.
I couldn't go up there. I really wanted to go to it.
Well, they want us to go to the next one.
I tried to sneak out of the hospital, and they wouldn't let me. They tackled me.
I believe it.
I would have gone. For sure would have gone.
I visited you.
He did. He visited me in the hospital. So I just injured my knee. That's all it was. I injured my knee, and then I got like an infection in my knee. So they had to keep me in the hospital and pump a bunch of antibiotics in me. Super dumb, whatever. But Kevin did come to visit, and it was super awkward. He got there right when I was getting my bath.
It was so good.
So
he brought you a teddy bear,
though. Dude,
he brought me a teddy bear, and then he helped me go to the bathroom.
He goes by his door, right? You hear him talking shit in the hallway because that's just what he does. So Shelly and I are looking at each other like, he doesn't know I'm here, right? She's like, no. Because you were in surgery when I got there.
That's right.
You weren't supposed to be yet.
Yeah.
He goes carting by the door, looks in his room, and I'm just sitting there on his bed smiling. Direct eye contact.
Mind you, I'm like 5 minutes out of surgery.
Dude, and he goes, who let that fucking guy in? And then it's like a movie. He goes back past the door, and they just leave him there against the wall until they get him ready to cart in. So I just go out there, and I'm just like, come here, dude. You know?
I asked the nurse to kick you out.
Yeah.
And then like, can we kick him out, please?
I give him a little Marine Corps bear, and, you know, then I left because I just was really tired of looking
at you. I slept with that bear for the next 4 days. Yeah, that me and that bear, we're tight now.
Yeah, just like you and JJ?
Me and JJ. It was my birthday the other day, and Curtis got me a betta fish for my birthday.
Is he still pumping?
He's still alive. Shelly, Shelly, again, shout out to Shelly. She's saving JJ right now.
I didn't have JJ, the beta fish, for more than 6 hours, and he was going to die, so my wife had to confiscate him and bring him home.
No, he was struggling before you got to work that day.
I was going
to
say. Yeah.
Not going to lie.
He's good now. He's doing really good, and we'll bring him back to the shop tomorrow. We got it all. Shelly got me all trained up and figured out.
This fish is going to be so used to being transported via vehicle by, like, week three. Right. It's just going to be like, where are we going, guys?
Yeah, he went from pet store to stick shift manual X-ray.
So dumb.
To yeah. here.
How did you get that thing here in your Jeep? Where did you put it?
Behind my seat.
Oh, my God.
I put it on the ground, and then I wrapped it in like a towel, and then I took the tank box and put the box next to it, kind of squeezed it between that and the tunnel. It was secure. I kept looking back.
Hit the speed bumps as fast as he could.
And then, but you took like half the water out so it wouldn't spill, right?
Yeah.
I'd say
yeah.
And then when he got here, he turned on the hot water faucet and filled it back up.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I was more concerned about water leaking in my Jeep than the fish.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And then he slept in his like taco for a few hours.
But we were fine. That was, I mean, the fish was fine when I left.
Well,
it was a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But why did you get a fish anyway? Did we say that?
It was my birthday. I said it was my birthday.
Yeah.
It was your birthday.
Birthday balloon right back there.
I put your sign up.
Oh, it's my birthday. It's my birthday day.
It's your happy birthday day.
Birthday day.
Kevin, do you mind if I clarify really quick? You did not get to see the flip when you got to the
No, I did not.
It had already happened?
It already happened.
Oh, my.
Did you get to see the aftermath?
No, nothing.
They already
We saw a lot of cars spin out. One hit the plastic orange barriers. That was pretty much
these are the drift guys though drift the burnout guys. Drift guys
yeah burnout drift guys. The off-road course was set across the street and they had it all coned off, so if you were to go over there you had to be a part of that crew. Maybe there were spectators allowed in a different section of the course earlier, but I just stood on the side of the road with the girls and kind of captured what I could. But
that's pretty cool.
What's even more rad, like I was saying, is those guys with one of our reels that we posted liked our perspective of their event. So they invited us to kind of get a little more in-depth.
That'd be fun to be a video part and more involved next year. That'd be fun.
So really excited for that. Any of their events, which is super cool. So thank you guys.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Terra Crew.
Yeah. Thanks, Terra Crew.
I was just going to say, because we keep referencing this and not explaining what we're talking about at all. So if you're not familiar with what happened, right? BJ Baldwin, who we all pretty much know by now, is a character of a driver got to drive or was allowed to drive Kyle Crafts custom
beautiful
1978 beautiful
that's his co-driver.
I know I'm just saying, like, it was a lot.
It's not like it was just some random guy. I was like, here,
no,
like,
not at all.
Keys.
Not at all. And that's what you sign up for when you have somebody else drive your vehicle. Absolutely. In any context. But just so you know what we're referencing, that he drove it and was going around the drift course and he rolled it pretty good. And that's a pretty well-known, expensive, custom, perfect truck. So it's hard to watch.
But there's a lot of variables in that also. Not just the talent of the driver, right? How hot it was. Maybe the ground was sticking to the tires different than it was an hour prior when they were ripping the course. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's just shit.
Everything.
Happens.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah.
It's like kind of the end all of the story is shit happens.
Shit happens. Yeah. I mean, for sure.
Whatever. What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
You're going to have a high performance vehicle. Eventually, you're going to fuck it up.
Oh, yeah. Just, no one's like blaming BJ at all. That was not my intent, because that's not the case. That's part, like you were saying earlier, that's part of any type of racing, whether it be off road or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, I hate to say it's not if but when, but it is, you know, like there's always going to be something that happens.
And this kind of stuff happens all the time. And I, you know, my past, I've restored a lot of cars and thankfully it hasn't happened to me, but I know other places that restore cars and, you know, you go get this $250,000 Camaro done and you're test driving it and the brakes fail and you slam it into a freaking light pole and you're like, well.
Like that one. That
sucks.
That video, that red. What was it, like a?
Oh, where the guys all broke their arms and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, that was brutal. They had the
guy took like 7 years shot. To build that car.
Yeah.
Well, even when I was working at my last job, the Hot Rods and Customs place, we had helped them with a, what was that? It was like a 41 Ford sedan, beautiful, amazing car. And a guy came by like right after they got it running. Interior wasn't done yet. Takes it for a spin and clips a car on the side of the street. First time he pulls out of the shop with it.
Yep.
You know, like unfixable type fenders where like it's got to come, you got to pull the whole front of that car apart and body work all that back and fix all that because you're not getting another one of those fenders. Like just some gorgeous car. And
Yeah.
Have you seen too much power for him? He wasn't ready for it.
This is why Curtis drives an XJ.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can just run that thing into stuff over and over again, and it doesn't matter.
Like that Crown Vic.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck
that. What about the videos where like a car gets delivered to somebody after a full resto and it's like open carrier or on the double deck and it just goes?
Yeah, that's
that would hurt me more than if I were to do it myself.
Working at the Harley dealership so many times, you wouldn't believe how many tow truck drivers drop a brand new bike that has like 5 miles on it. And the 5 miles are just from moving it from like, you know, production out to the showroom to the truck. And they just drop it and total it. Ooh, like,
I bet it happened to my father.
So dumb.
Insanely custom chopper loading it into the trailer while it's raining out back east. And the guy fell over with it.
David, I think
the tank tore the whole bike up. And it's an unreplaceable one-off paint job that you can't just redo.
I think you're the only one that knows about this, actually. Do you remember when my grandpa's 72 C10 got delivered out here from Philly?
Yeah.
So they bring it on an open carrier. It needs work, right? It's from 2005 or something like that. And they loaded it up with a forklift because it has a non-running 305 in it and no brakes. So they loaded it up with a forklift and you sign the documentation saying, hey, you're going to pay more money because it doesn't run, doesn't stop. They put it on the top, all the way in the back, so ass end to the cab of the truck with no way to get it off. So my buddy had to drive his FJ, lifted steel bumper to the front, making contact with the nose of the Chevy. And I'm in the driver's seat, and this dude who drove the truck from Philly wanted nothing to do with it. And I just had to, you know, let off and hold the wheel as straight as I could and basically make contact with the FJ, completely crushing my core support, my hood, the whole front end of the Chevy getting off the trucks, just bouncing, crush, crush, crush.
Oh, that's rough.
And then we had to tow it to the house, and it's in Nuevo right now. But
And you haven't touched it since?
Mm-mm.
That's weird.
Weird.
I discussed this with Kevin yesterday. He likes to take all the cool stuff he has and disperse it across the country and forget about it.
Yeah, don't you have a Talon somewhere too?
Yeah, 91 Eagle Talon TSI in Philly.
He's got a beautiful.
And the truck is where?
In Nuevo.
And then where's the other truck?
Where's the Ford?
PNW. But I have the Acura and the XJ at home. So there's two.
Oh, okay.
The coolest. So there's 40% of my vehicles are in California.
Yeah, dude, that Acura fucks.
Yeah, hey, 30 MPGs to daily drive to Pendleton, it fucks.
The MPGs, dog.
Yeah. VTEC, baby. Jeez. Let's go.
Speaking of screw-ups, Curtis, didn't your... Can we talk about the screw-ups?
Not an easy word to say.
Are we even allowed to say who it is? Is that allowed?
We'll just say we know a human being that's close to one of us.
You directed it right towards me.
Oh, no, that was not. That was not what that was. That was different.
We just learned that if you pour...
This is a tech tip for everybody. This is just an FYI, something we know about.
Let's be really clear that it wasn't me. Because
it was not. Yeah. It was not.
I can't afford something that nice, or to ruin something that nice.
An undisclosed person.
Did you do that on purpose human again? Being. Huh? So, you do that on purpose again?
No, it's because of my weight. It slowly goes down.
Yeah, he's trying to get the pole to go through the chair.
Yeah, I'm fat.
Okay, Curtis, you've got the floor.
If
sorry,
you take the DEF fluid in newer diesels and put it in the diesel tank.
Hmm.
On accident.
Now, before we go any further.
Or on purpose.
On those flaps, I've noticed on those Fords, when you open the cap, there's a hole and another hole.
Yep. They're two different colors, too.
Two different colors.
Yellow, green.
How often do you get your two holes confused?
Don't have any that are that close to each other.
Really?
Except my nostrils.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Do you go to pick one and thought you were picking the other one? Or?
So, this human being... that we're not speaking the name of.
Great guy.
Put how much DEF into his diesel tank?
Just one of those boxes, which I guess those boxes are about 2.5 gallons.
2.5 gallons, yep. Yeah.
So 2.5 gallons of DEF into a diesel tank that had how much fuel in it?
This is where a lot of unenclosed answers come from.
I'm guessing not a lot of fuel.
Supposedly a half a tank of diesel.
Allegedly.
Allegedly versus 2.5 gallons of DEF.
How far did he get?
I can't really answer. Not far enough. Will ruin your entire fuel system on a new truck.
Damn.
Like,
which costs how much to replace?
If it's a Ford, it's $17,000.
So $17,000 fuck up. just by having a bad day.
I keep using that word.
Like, it's a fuck
mistake,
up,
an oopsie.
That's an oopsie, but I'll tell it to his face. He fucked up.
I mean, he'll admit it. I just, you know.
Well, that's like someone that wants to use the green pump for more efficient fuel for their Prius. You know, those two go together. It's equal.
But I mean, think about it, right? How many times have we all had like a bad day where you do something stupid?
Yeah.
Even just dumb, like locking your keys in your car, right? Like, this is that type of mistake. Like, I poured that in the wrong hole. Oh, well, sorry, it's 17 grand. Bro.
Yeah.
You done fucked up.
Yeah. Pretty surprised at the amount
the price
for that.
Tag.
As soon as you make the mistake, as long as you don't start the car.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not that big of a mistake.
This is where we learned. If you do it, don't drive it. Don't start it. Don't drive it. Don't even look at it.
Do we know though? Like what happens? Is it ruining the actual components in there? Does it coagulate?
According
to
the dealership, it ruined everything.
Okay. Which, well, do we have anything?
Like, that's I don't know.
I'm
enough.
Not a Ford tech.
I
mean, so
we've
I
all
know.
Been. I, never mind. I won't say that.
I know that
there's probably a shade tree mechanic out there. Some guy who works on diesels all the time. Who knows? Nah, you just take these out, you clean them, and you do this.
Yeah,
you
blow there's this line there's out probably and, like 100% like. I'm sure half the stuff they replaced was probably unnecessary, but because it's the dealership and they absolutely have to cover, their ass and, you know, and again, they're just kind of, I mean.
But I mean, 17K, what's the do-it-yourself, hopefully you get away with it.
Well, even on that too, like they were like, yeah, it's like 17 grand. And then they waited for like 2 weeks to get parts. And then they're like, it's going to be done tomorrow. And he's like, how's that possible? It's still in the parking lot.
So here's a question. Like, when you flood a dirt bike, right? So I hydrolocked my KX250 back in the day in Beaumont. Flipped it upside down, pulled the plug, hit the kicker, and just pumped everything out, right? Can you do something like that?
So here's the deal. On a new diesel, you can't just pull the plug. You know what you start with? Pull the cab.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's that.
Well, okay, so pull the cab.
And you're supposed to have
gas.
You
just pull the cab and just crank
it
over.
Home.
You're supposed to have gas in a
because
dirt bike.
Because now the entire body
it.
Harness is detached from the truck.
That's insane. I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah, so a lot of modern cars.
Diesels don't work that
way. You see
either.
How stern he gets with
me? Yeah, he gets angry. A lot of modern cars are.
I show up, it starts.
Are very difficult to work on because of how they make them. And they're not made to be serviced sometimes, right? They're just supposed
Dude,
to get you a quarter million miles and then throw it away.
It's kind of crazy, though, because from experience, like working on a, like, at least for Fords, from what I've learned from like 06 and up, it's so much like everyone's like, oh my God, you have to pull the cab off. It's not hard and not at all. Like you can print out like a 10-page essay on it and it just takes you step by step. Like go unplug this. Now they unplug this. Go unplug this. Like go unbolt that.
The cab or the
cab.
Oh,
the cab.
That's gnarly.
It's all designed to be removed in like a somewhat efficient way so that you can work on it way easier. Like 6-liter diesels, you can't take the cylinder heads off without removing the cab. And if someone knows how to do it, then you're dumb. Just take the cab off. Sorry.
But maybe it also comes to like, how they can do it at home also. Like not everyone has the manpower to help lift the cab off, et cetera. So it may
Especially
be easy,
you.
But that's not true.
If my
68 Bronco, I pulled the cab off when it lit on fire.
If that kind of work to their car in their driveway, I would tell them to eat shit.
Yeah.
That's gross.
And then go there and sit back and watch them try. I wouldn't help at all.
I would argue that things have really changed, though. It's just my personal opinion that, like, obviously things on older vehicles are more mechanical and things on newer vehicles are not. That's the obvious, right? But I personally feel like there's almost, like, this weird shift towards, like, let's make it less user-friendly so that the dealership ultimately still gets to work on it. Because now you have to have a special diagnostic tool to do this.
It's not even that. Like, you can go all the way back to where they don't even have dipsticks anymore. Or, like, Mercedes and most European cars coming from the transmission world, they have one dipstick for all their cars. Well, like, you can't check the fluid. Like, there's a little tube and everything, and you pull it out. You go to, like, pull your dipstick out, and it's just a plug.
Yeah.
And there's nothing on the end of it. So you have to buy, like, a $200 dipstick, which no individual – you're not going to go buy that.
Well, it's
like,
because the computer is telling – there's a sensor in there that tells the computer how much oil you have.
Even earlier Mercedes and stuff don't even have that.
And we're going to get into the OBD2 stuff. I want to talk about that misinformation on OBD2. But real quick before I forget, you guys are talking about the changes that are happening. Have you seen all the electric brake calipers now?
What?
Yeah, and you have to, like, go into the computer
and
just
no more
to, like,
hydraulic brakes. The future is electric brake calipers.
What an awesome time to rely on an electric device not failing on
Would
you.
Would that be the same as, like, my electric e-brake on my F-150?
Yes. Similar,
okay,
yeah.
So I have to – when I do the rear brake pads on my F-150, I have to go into my steering wheel, and I have to go and put in a whole sequence of things to disable that just to do my brake pads.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, how many electric vehicles
pain in the ass
have you seen stuck on the side of the road because they can't put them in neutral to push them out of the way?
Yeah, that happens.
a lot. I've seen probably seven.
Or if they catch one on fire, even last week. Since it's a lithium battery, they just have to let them burn to the ground.
Yeah, hazards on. I was like, hey, dude, you need help? He goes, I can't do anything with my vehicle. Yeah. And he waited for
like
a tow truck.
Mechanics, like, you know, I'm an ASC certified master tech. And I don't think I've renewed this last couple of years. So I'm probably out of date by a couple of years. Like, I haven't recertified. Only because I'm not working on brand new BMWs and brand new Lexus and hybrids and electric cars. And that's not what I do anymore. So it just wasn't worth it for me to keep investing in that certificate. But I can only imagine the techs now, what they have to go through to get certified. You got to take like serious electronics courses. You got to know how hybrid electronics work. You got to know how electric vehicles work.
Computer engineering.
And now you've got to know how electric braking systems work, because hydraulic braking is going to be a thing of the past. You know, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty wild. I mean, it's cool to see technology change and improve and how they do things. But, you know, for a guy my age who's been working on cars my whole life, it's really weird to see how much it's changed.
What about from the aspect of that mechanic? Usually, say, if someone were to be hired on here, hey, do you have your own tools, right? Wrenches, whatever. Mm-hmm. You do all the mechanical stuff.
Well, I got a laptop.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not only the laptop, but say you're – I know we're going to get into it, but your OBD2 reader and how much that was. How much specialty equipment for a – basic EV mechanic, are those things going to cost to where, hey, you just want a regular mechanic job working on those types of things, but kind of like you need a $100,000 tool or collectively $100,000 worth of stuff, but it's like three items to work on those things. Like, well, that's crazy, man.
There is a law that you have to be paid double minimum wage as a mechanic. And I doubt there's been any amendments quite yet as far as if that's different, whether you are specializing in, you know, electrical vehicles or not. But I wouldn't be surprised in the future if that is – you know, you have to be paid tripled minimum wage. This is California, by the way, just California. I don't know about other states, but.
Yeah, California's got some weird laws.
Yeah.
So I don't know if to go back to the OBD2 misinformation, OBD2, so onboard diagnostic. This is how mechanics go in and plug their computers into your car and read what your computer's saying and figure out what's going on. Your check engine light comes on, you go to your mechanic, he plugs into that port. There was OBD1 back in the day, and then late 96, beginning of 97-ish, we went to OBD2. And that's been the standard in the United States. That's a standard everybody agreed on, that all the manufacturers have to supply this universal port that everybody can plug into and check what's wrong with your car. So you basically making the manufacturers not be able to completely lock you out and not get your car serviced somewhere, right? So the problem I have is, I don't know if these are still floating around, but there were videos floating around of people coming on, you know, Instagram or whatever, saying, hey, I went and bought my OBD2 reader. You get it online, you plug it in, you get the app for your phone, and I never have to go to a mechanic again. I get it, right?
That's cute.
But this so does not work that way. And for all of you out there who know how it works, I'm going to be redundant for you. But for those of you who don't know how it works, if you plug in your OBD2 and you use your app on your phone and it gives you, say, O2 sensor, bank one, sensor one, you're like, oh, I'm just going to go to O'Reilly. I'm going to buy bank one, sensor one, and I'm going to screw it in and plug it in, and bang, problem solved.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Not a fucking chance, man. I mean, it can be the O2 sensor. Yes, it absolutely can be.
Which is still mad money.
Yeah, it could be that where the O2 sensor screws into the exhaust, it's a little bit loose and it's sucking air in. It could be a chafed wire. It could be a bad plug that's been next to the exhaust and it's got hot and cracked and it's not getting a good connection anymore. It could be – I've seen where it's a bad internal solder on a computer board inside the PCM. Like, it just gives the mechanic a place to start.
Half of being a mechanic is diagnostic work, and a computer will never be able to do that. It might be able to show you where to start, but it will never be able to do the hands-on legwork that needs to be done to diagnose certain types of issues.
Yeah, so I'm okay with everybody having one, right? You should have one. You should know how to diagnose your car. You should know how to say, okay, I'm going to take it to my mechanic, and I know this is the code, and it's going to be something in this system. And then that way, when you go to the mechanic and he calls you and says, oh, your starter's crap and you need a new transmission, you can go, well, then why did I have an O2 sensor code, right? You at least have some dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. So I get it. Educate yourself. But just understand that that's not how it works. It's so, so much more complex than that. Yeah. The OBD2 reader that I have, the one that I specifically have, is about two clicks down from the top of the line from Snap-on. It's not the top of the line. It's like two clicks down. And it was, when I bought it, $3,000, $4,000. I have to spend $1,000 a year to keep it up to date.
Just to keep it updated.
Yeah. So that it's correct for all the new vehicles coming in. We work on Jeeps here, right? So Jeep, JK's, we'll start at JK. TJ's had OBD2. They're pretty easy, but you really can't do anything with those PCMs. We have HP Tuner, which is a whole other program that we can go in and tune cars with. But on the TJs, there's just not a lot to do, right? So you just kind of leave those alone. But JKs, we can go in actually with our HP Tuner and we can program them. We put new gears in them. We put bigger tires on them. We have to reflash the computer until it has bigger tires, has different gears, so that the speedometer works correctly and the transmission shifts right, right? That's why we do it. You can buy your own personal programmers for those things as well. And they marry to a specific car. We offer here at Bent Motorsports is that, hey, don't buy that if you don't want, you know, you just come to us for all the work and then, you know, we'll just do it for you every time. You change your tires, you buy the tires for me, I'm just going to change it for you for free, right? It's like part of the gig. If it's a brand new JL, however, and you're in a JL or a JT, any of the new platform vehicles, I have to, for my Snap-on tool, if I want to just, so we have on OBD, the easiest way to say it is there's backdoor information and front door information, right? There's information that they want the consumer to see, and then there's information that they want the techs to see, right? So your OBD2 reader that you go buy at your local store or on Amazon is only going to give you that front door information. It's going to give you very basic data. Mm-hmm. Whereas I plug my Snap-on tool in that I'm paying Fiat Chrysler $500 a year to get an access key to the backdoor information.
I was going to say an important piece of information, too, to try and kind of steer people away from spending money you don't need to. It's, even if you go and buy one of these, you know, like Harbor Freight, you know, diagnostic tools or OBD2, whatever it may be, do you even have access to a lot of the modern production vehicles? I mean, you don't, right?
You don't.
Yeah, a lot of them will literally just – and even if it does, if you get something out of it, you're not going to get all of it. Because, like, cars have so many systems now. So you have, like, just your regular engine management stuff. But then there's – it probably won't tell you if you've got a transmission problem. It won't tell you if you have an ABS code. It won't be able to want – like, it won't be able to look at any of that stuff.
It's not going to look the BCM stuff. So, like, what's a modern JL have? 3 or 4 computers? I can't remember.
Enough.
But the OBD2 is only going to give you access to the one. It's not going to get you into all the other ones. Yeah, right?
It's going to very lightly let you know that you have a check engine light on and right. Like maybe what it is.
Right.
So, I mean, even if it's got a transmission code, it'll just be like P0700. You have a problem.
Right. Exactly. It's going to be a generic code. You're going to Google it and it's going to tell you whatever.
With Googling things, how many times with our Jeep shop, Bent Motorsports sign facing the highway, do we get people coming in the back door being like, hey, I have this check engine light on, and you whip out that giant Snap-on tool, whatever, and you go tell them like what the problem is. And they're like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like,
yeah, it happens a lot. And, yeah, and all the time. And it's fine. If you guys have a check engine light, just come by. I'll check it for you for free, whatever. I'll check it for you. When we do – so you come in and we do a gear job or a a tire size change, there is a fee on the JLs and JTs where – it's $100 for us to reprogram your car because it costs me, I have to buy a license for that new car. So I gotta ask for permission and then I have to buy it. And so I pass that cost on to you, the consumer. But what I do, as soon as I've done that, I've got you now. Like I've got your VIN in my system. You can come back to me, change your gears again, change your tires again, do whatever you want. And I'm going to change it for free for you, right? Because you're already in my system now. So it's a one-time thing. And then forever and then on, I'm going to be able to program for you, right? You can also go buy – who makes them? There's – who make –
what do we do?
The flash calibrators that you can buy.
I think like AEV makes them.
AEV makes one.
I had a client telling me the other day that like there's like this like Z-Mod off-roader one or something like that. He was telling me that thing's like the bee's knees when it comes to them.
Yeah. So if you're super into doing it yourself, then definitely go buy one of those because they're really rad. Yeah. Then you can change things. They'll all let by you go yourself. Past
like – I mean he was telling me like it's got a thing where you hold two buttons on your steering wheel and it'll line lock a wheel or it'll do
that. Yeah,
it's super cool. So you can do like weird dig stuff with your Jeeps and pretty neat.
That's cool.
Yeah, you need to buy a new Jeep to do that now then or the Bronco.
Yeah, but if you're the kind of guy
– it's going to be one of the first things I get when my truck shows up.
But if you're just the kind of guy who's just going to get tires and gears and you're done and you don't need to be messing with everything else, then we can take care of it. You don't got to go buy a Pro Cal or any of those kits.
You got to forget, you're leaving out like the worst, most painful part about it with all the new Jeeps.
Yeah.
You have to take your hand, shove it up underneath the dash of the Jeep, cut your hand open 10 times to unplug two very painful connectors.
That's fun. I did that.
See, yeah. That was like one of the first things we taught her to do when she started working here was
because she has tiny little hands.
You have been initiated.
Are you taking
She's taking orders.
Sorry. Anyway, but yeah, on all the
can we take a cut water break really quick?
Yeah. On all the
cut water break.
Jails and JGs and stuff, you have to shove your hand up inside this little crevice.
That was mine. Well, we can get you another one. Cutwater 10.
What if I wanted that one?
Yeah, so what are we drinking tonight? We got a mango margarita. This is the big popular one, the whiskey lemonade.
It is delicious.
We're already out, actually.
I've got a pina colada. Yeah.
Curtis, since that's the only one you like.
It's not the only one I like. It's just the one I prefer.
Something lighter. I just had one of those police.
Get him a...
I was in the middle of saying something in this one.
Yeah, I'll take a vodka.
I'm always listening to you.
That's horse.
What'd you say?
We're good.
I hate you.
Thank you. These are all great.
So, yeah. So, anyways, I just like to, take it with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? I mean, I definitely promote people being self-reliant, getting your own tools and using them, but just understand them. There is no magic cure to just plug into your car and go, this is what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
You have to be a diagnostic person. You have to be able to figure things out.
I used to get that all the time working at a general automotive shop. Not so much here because we kind of stray away from those stupid yellow lights in the first place.
Yeah.
But I mean, you get people that come in and go, why do you want to charge me time just for you to stare at your computer that's going to tell you the answer? And it's like, no, it's not. It's not going
to tell me
like,
where to start.
It starts it. And then even then, if I pull up all the data that it's showing on here, you're going to be able to tell me what that's telling me when I turn it towards you and go, okay, here's what your truck's doing.
Preach.
Yeah. Like all the time. And no one would ever stand it. And then again, it's, when you end up buying the top of the line, nicest Snap-on or Macco or whatever you want to buy, you're $25,000,
$30,000. Oh, yeah.
But how often do you also explain that actual information that you're talking about to the customer or to the person that came by?
So every single time.
No, but that's good though.
No, it's good.
And this is they understand that you're not throwing them around, right?
It was always more like an explanation you had to make. It wasn't like in my opinion, like 80% of those people will come in and argue with you about it. The other 10 will be like, I totally get it because this guy has an entire facility to take care of. Yeah. And he's probably using some insane tool to help fix my car. Because when you're in a newer generation car, you're not just smacking the float bowls and turning screws on the carburetor anymore.
Yeah. Now, to expand on what Kevin's talking about right now, from the Bent Motorsports point of view, the way I've grown my business and the way I deal my business, I'm not a standard run-of-the-mill maintenance facility where we're just slamming brakes on cars and getting them in and out and my techs have quotas and any of that crap, right? We're a specialty shop that does specialty work, and we are never going to make something up and lie to you about anything. So our biggest thing here, and we've talked about it, Curtis and I, is educating our customers, right? Making sure our customers understand what's going on, why it's going on, and how to get them to understand, change, right? Because they've been screwed over before, right? Everybody's been screwed over by a mechanic. So how can we make you understand that we're not here to do that? Yeah, we actually want to go wheeling with you. So the last thing I want is for you to break down on the trail because of some shit I did. Like, I want your shit to work.
You'll be fixing it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
why would I want to fix it on the trail?
Yeah.
I would rather just fix it here for you. Like when we talk to you, we're going to shoot straight with you. We're going to tell you exactly what's going on and why it's going on. And we have no ulterior motive other than to make your shit work great and go wheeling. And hopefully we can go with you. Right. And have a great time.
Even when we do go wheeling, think about the Rubicon alone. How many vehicles we stopped? Every single vehicle that was disabled.
Yeah,
we were there.
And we stopped and fixed at least a half a dozen vehicles the last time we were there.
Yeah,
and because we're not just a drive by somebody's broke down.
They're like, "Who are you? Where are you?"
We break out our welder. We broke out our grinders.
Did you charge them anything for that?
No.
They ask who we are and where we are. And
if that doesn't speak volumes, I don't know what.
Okay, one guy gave us beers.
That's
and we took them.
But like,
absolutely,
we took them.
That's different. But it's not like a quick 5 minute fix. Like we spent hours
on the
trail. Were guiding through one of the squeezes, right, with that down tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Jake's welding on this giant rock. I think the picture is on our Instagram.
I love
or something
that,
like
dude.
That.
Yeah. It's his bio picture
yeah.
on our website.
It's, yeah. yeah. It's just real. The information is real. The people are real. The output of product is real. And that's what we thrive on.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask us questions. We're here to answer them.
And we are the industry professionals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah. And then also, you know, since we're talking about it, our podcast is now primarily we're trying to do video on every one of our podcasts. So we know we have a lot of audio listeners out there who are listening to us on Pandora, Hulu, Apple,
Podcast, Spotify,
yep. whatever they are. Did I say Hulu? It's like the same exact logo as Spotify.
We'll be on Hulu so someday if you
so anyways,
keep following.
But anyways, all those ones that are audio, which we still post them up there, you're more than welcome to listen to them there. But if you go to YouTube and you click on it and then just put your phone in your pocket or whatever and listen like you normally do, but just use the YouTube link, it really helps us. And while you're there, subscribe because that's how this is all going to keep going is if you guys like what we're bringing you, it's really helpful when you subscribe. And there's a lot of parameters that we have to meet, and YouTube is the way we're going to do it. So yeah. if you guys can listen to us through YouTube, that would be amazing. We'd love that.
Well, I think there's more interaction with that also, because on a Spotify podcast, or you know, it's easier to listen to Bent Motorsports podcast while you're driving under
yeah.
that circumstance.
Sure,
right?
And I understand that.
And we ask or have started to ask questions on like what you guys want to see, what are you interested in, what do you have questions about?
And absolutely leave a comment if
yes,
you have
through
something
YouTube,
to say to that, please.
You comment and we'll make the video. We'll give you the information that you need. I think one day, you know, we sometimes like to have an audience, but I think bringing sometimes people that may be more local or willing to come on and create dialogue that way, like just –
Yeah.
Like I said,
yeah.
we're authentic.
Well, and we're all moderating questions. Those things. So we're yep. the ones who are answering you. It's not, you know, my son sitting in the back who's dealing with it. We're the ones answering it. And you can even ask us in the comment, who am I talking to? You know, and it might be, this is Hannah or this is Kevin or this is David or this is Curtis, right? It could be any of us. And we'll, whoever happens to be seeing the comment that day and answering quicker, it could be any of us. So you can always say, hey, who am I talking to? And we'll tell you and we can have a conversation. It's fun for us, right? We want to know what you think. You know, it's important to us.
And with all that being said, I mean, it might already be obvious that we're clearly putting a lot more effort into, you know, the whole kind of production as a whole. Recently, we're revamping stuff. We're doing better with our podcast. We're getting everything up and going. It's a huge goal of ours to kind of keep this moving forward. So if you've been with us thus far, it means more to every single person here than you will ever understand to have your support thus far. And if you want to stick with us and watch us grow, right now the best thing you can do to help us out is get to our YouTube. Watch it there to help us with our watch hours and to give us a subscribe, a like, a comment, something like that. That's pretty big to us right now. So
we'll also potentially broadcast invitations. Like, so I know that you guys have talked previously, I think maybe two podcasts or maybe more specifically the one about the Netflix show premiering on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And one of our events.
Tex-Mex Motors.
And on our webpage as well, under the events tab, you can see that we are actually going to host the premiere here at Bent Motorsports. So that's just another opportunity to meet us if you don't already know us, hang out with us, and watch one of the secret shows that the guys were working on in Texas, which I think is pretty rad. So
yeah. Which is why the Jakes and Drew are not here right now is because they're in LA doing another show.
Correct.
And they couldn't be with us for the podcast.
So this will be post-production when you watch this, obviously, but Hannah and I will be focused on posting this podcast on YouTube. Hopefully tomorrow we can maybe finalize the details, publish it, and give you guys a couple of days opportunity to
Because we'd love anybody who's local, come by. I mean, if you're not local and you want to fly out here, that'd be fucking sick.
For sure.
We'll not cover the tab. Yeah. But
I'm not paying for it, but that would be sick. You know what? I got folding shovels in the lobby. If you fly here from somewhere, you can have a folding shovel.
Hell yeah, dude.
Tex-Mex. It's called Tex-Mex Motors. It's on Netflix, and it comes out Friday the 9th. So if you can't make it to hang out with us here at the shop, for sure watch it at home. Tell us what you think. It's kind of a Should be a fun show.
When they're done working on the second show,
we'll let you know what that
we'll
one
do
is.
The yeah. another premiere yeah. barbecue whatever on that. So check the events page on bentmotorsports.com and come hang out with us.
I wanted to talk more about it because we kind of like hinted last yeah. time at some of the like some of the Netflix secrets, and we didn't because we weren't sure, right? And then we posted that podcast, and the very next day, Netflix posted the trailer for the show that we're talking about. Yeah. So we've kind of got free range to like spill.
Well, let's just tell the premise,
maybe
right?
Maybe we should wait a little bit.
Do you need a cough drop? Do you need a cough drop?
I just have been smoking cigars for years. Okay. Leave me alone.
Oh, man. I think you need some water.
Yeah.
Water. She's a water.
Give me a glass of water, Kim.
Oh, my fucking name, man.
How's your knee?
How's your knee? My mom will give you some water. By the way, her knee's better, so.
Is
so,
it? Yeah. Oh, that's I'm so glad for your mom.
So is David's.
My knee was hurt, too.
My mom has a lot of... problems, but
his so Tex-Mex and Tex-Mex Motors. I don't know if we gave you enough of a last time, but anyways, the premise of the show is that we are in El Paso, Texas, and the group of guys running this shop would go across the border into Juarez and find old cars or different cars, and they'd bring them back across to Texas, and they would restore them and then sell them. And it was like flipping these cars, but they were finding them down in Mexico and bringing them back. So, and again, you know, we're not on the show. We're just ghost mechanics. We are just the guys who's worked the graveyard shift.
You guys are the backbone of the TV.
Yeah, we're just the graveyard.
You guys, yeah.
The graveyard shift that actually works on. I mean, the hosts work on the cars too, but not as, you know, vigorously as we do. But yeah.
They're not doing it at 2 a.m.
No. I mean, as you know, everybody has a job on TV, right? And our job was to shut up and build shit fast. So that's what we did.
And on the previous podcast, you guys talked about the scheduling that was originated and then how every week or every 2 weeks it was modified to where they wanted you out there. And it's not to talk down on anyone who was physically there, but I think the amount of work that presented itself as the time went on.
Yeah.
I'm not a TV fucking guy. Like, I don't know how all that stuff works, but you guys were crucial. Which is super rad.
The thing is, right, with them, I mean, as with everything in the world, time is money. But in the TV world, time is money on a whole different level.
Yeah, it's
wild.
Time is like almost unrealistic.
Yeah, it's
like,
unrealistically wild.
What do you mean
right?
you have 24 hours in a day? We want 16.
Yeah, like, so when we would go and excel, they would just adjust their budget accordingly and go, well, if you guys can work this fast, then why don't you just be here this more often? And then we'll get done this more early. And then the budget will be this more lower and everybody's happy. So just do that. Okay. And we're like, okay, we will do that. And it's fun. It was such a great experience.
That's what you guys do anyway, even here.
Yeah. It's super fun. So I'm stoked. I hope some people get to make it out and visit us here and watch it with us. Yeah. I'm excited to see, you know, what it looks like. It's going to be fun.
Doors will be open, right, David?
Yeah.
Doors will be open. Anybody can come in.
We're going to bring the ramp out, maybe?
Yeah, maybe I'll get the flex ramp out, and you guys can flex your vehicles. And
Come by, bring your Jeep.
Yeah, we'll see how much flex you got.
If you do want any more info on it, the TV show in general, since we've been talking about it a lot, it's all linked on our website as well. If you go to the events tab, I have got the trailer for the show linked there, and you can get all the info.
And are we going to talk about another podcast coming up that we might do?
Yeah. So speaking of us kind of like branching out with the media stuff, we're working on it, if you can't already tell. LSK Suspension, they do a lot of side-by-side and like weld-it-yourself kits, yeah. right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're up in the Fontana area, so they're not too far away. They're doing a podcast that's killing it. They just interviewed Wilkie and Kevin, his fab guy, and Corrosive, and they're killing it. They're doing a good job. They're tapping into the off-road scene. We've kind of got like a similar thing going on. So I think we're going to do kind of like a interview each other type podcast, see what's up with that. So
yeah, I think we'll go up there maybe first and be on their podcast. Then hopefully we can con them to come in down here. I mean, we have a bar. It's the best way we get people in here. You know, we say, hey, we're sponsored by Cutwater and we have a full bar. Yeah. So
I have a question kind of because I'm unfamiliar with the whole Razor scene, right? I believe they do
full-size Chevy and
– Yeah, it's long travel stuff, right?
Stuff.
Yeah. I know I've seen LSK on some long travel stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, I've seen them rip for sure.
Yeah, they're big.
That's right.
Yeah, they show up with their pants off. They fuck for sure.
Oh, yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, but LSK if they were wearing off-the-grid pants, they would
take them off. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to show them pants off?
My pants aren't on, right? Oh, no, my pants are on, right?
Whoa.
Sometimes I don't know. Like at home, pants are never on. So I get confused sometimes.
I'm more alarmed that I looked to check.
I saw Curtis's hand go under the table.
She's like, David might not have. Nope, he has them on. You never know with me.
I wouldn't be. Yeah, I'd be impressed. Actually,
three or four more Cutwaters, pants come right off.
It's true. Cutwaters, hot tub, pants off.
Cutwater will do it to you.
Yeah, I'm not allowed back to Todd's house. What are you going to do? Anyway. All right. Well, have we covered it all? Is that it for now? I think so.
Because we're not talking about something to say. You had a face that said
no. I was going to say we could talk about the score race that's going on right now down in Ensenada.
If you want to,
but we don't have to. We can end here. We can save that for next time.
Yeah, we'll save that for next time because I don't know what the hell's going on with it. No, I didn't watch it.
Not a clue.
All I saw this weekend was some guy in motocross get his arm ripped backward. Pow,
popped. Ooh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was on the start. He like was they were going and he like fell off the bike and then a front wheel hit him right here and his arms went ping.
And that's why we have cages, boys and girls.
Wrong way around.
The only thing I know about that is there's been a lot of first-time winners or people who haven't been winning recently, whether it's mechanical failures, et cetera. But supposedly all the score stuff is, like, popping right now. Everyone's killing it. And we should all go down to Baja. Get your Sentry passes.
I know Nick.
Because I don't want to go down alone anymore.
Nick was racing on.
I got kicked out of Baja. I'm not allowed to back it there.
They finished.
Well, you're bald now, so it'll be fine.
I'm what now?
Bald.
What makes you think he wasn't bald then?
You see how beautiful this man's hair was before? You see the old picture of him and Shelly when he had the barbecue at his house?
I literally told David the other day that looking at photos of him when he's younger, I think he's more attractive now than he was when he was younger.
For sure. Dude, your forehead shrank like 4 inches too.
Dude, there's just something, about
keep
it.
Going down?
Seriously,
does it keep going down or do you keep going down?
I'm in the same chair and I am it's a joke. All of ours are going 40 pounds heavier than you and I'm chilling.
I think Hannah's reaching over and hitting the lever.
I think so. I think she's
either that or she's helping him take his pants off.
All right, guys, it's been great. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Perfect.
That fades out of scene.
Oh, my. He's done.
I'm done.
He's done. You guys are on your own.
That chair needs a reseal.
Yeah.
A reseal.
Do it one more time just for the fans, would you?
All right, one more time?
One more time. Give it to us. Do it real quick, like.
I'm going to zoom in on your face and do this.
You ready?
How does he make it disappear without a... You don't even clench. Like, nothing.
Ooh!
He smiles.
Which one of these am I taking home?